Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
And I am Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
No, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Friendly reminder, you can visit our website for everything we mention on the show. You can follow us on Twitter at Forever35Pod and Instagram at Forever35Podcast. You can find the Forever 35 Facebook group on Facebook where the password is serums. You can also shop our curated selection of favorite products at shopmyshelf.us/forever35.
I love it. You can call or text us at 781-591-0390, and you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Here we are. After much technical difficulty, Dori and I have united to record this episode. Technical difficulty on my end, which is making me feel filled with rage. I feel like this is like a March 2020 conversation, but I'm having it now.
Yeah, basically Kate's internet is possessed.
I can't hold a connection and it's starting to make me feel furious. So if I sound strange, I'm on a different microphone and I apologize if anything sounds weird. I'm having a lot of anxiety over how annoying this has been, but that is not what I'm here to talk about, Dori.
Okay.
I am here to share a product recommendation.
I'm here for it.
Okay, so I received... let me first back up. You and I are in this really privileged position where because we record this podcast, people will send us skincare products to try. Which was my fantasy when we started this show. I'm not going to lie. I was like, do you think someone will send us products? And lo and behold, that is what has happened. So I just want to always mention that because, you know, we get to try stuff without paying for things a lot of the time. And this is one of those items. Someone sent me a bunch of products. You know, it was like a PR box. And there was this thing in the box by a skincare brand I had never heard of, Tammy Fender. Now, have you ever heard of Tammy Fender, Dori?
I had never heard of Tammy Fender, no.
Okay, well, I believe she's an esthetician and has a, you know, boutique. I don't know what the word is. Like a, she sees people, an office in Florida, and she has her own line of skincare products. And one of the products that I received from the Tammy Fender line is called Plant Milk. Mm-hmm. And this is essentially almost like it's kind of a hydrating, nourishing serum that you put on. You could wear it on its own or you put it on before a moisturizer. And it has left my skin feeling, I don't want to say sticky because that's the wrong word that I'm looking for. That makes it sound gross. It's left my skin feeling so dewy and hydrated. That it has made it to the top of my product list. This stuff is amazing.
Okay. I I take this recommendation. I like it.
It is, quote, a milky serum made from botanical extracts. Now, milky serum sounds like something you might hear in one of my very steamy romance novels. Wink, wink.
And then he released his milky serum.
That's so disgusting.
Is that kind of the vibe you're going for? Okay, yeah.
That's kind of what I'm saying. But this stuff is, it's just, I put it on after I wash my face and tone, and it, like, I can feel it just hydrating my skin, and I can still feel it in my, like, my skin just feels nourished. And I have such dehydrated kind of dry patches on my cheekbones. And this combined with a delicious moisturizer, I have a Kypris moisturizer that I like. I also have the Dia moisturizer. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just so wonderfully hydrating in a way that, quite honestly, hyaluronic acid products don't do for me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Dory, you know how, like, you're kind of on the fence about vitamin C?
Yeah.
That's, like, maybe how I feel about hyaluronic acid.
Wow. Okay.
Is that a scandalous thing to say?
No. I mean, you know, everyone's skin reacts differently. We all have our own preferences. I have been using the SkinCeuticals CE Ferulic, which is a vitamin C serum.
You pulled out the big baby. You went for, like, the legend
now,
of vitamin C.
I have to admit, I've been using it on my face, but I have also nightly been using it on the backs of my hands.
That's right. I remember you doing vitamin C serum on the backs of your hands.
Which you is do? Like, I've never talked about it.
You told us you were putting serums on your hands.
But I never said vitamin C.
Oh, well, I guess I'm just jumping to conclusions. are you able? I feel like putting it on your hand is kind of nice because you can look at it all day long. Have you noticed any sort of adjustment in skin?
My hands do, like, the backs of my hands do feel quite smooth. I am curious to see if it, like, fades any of these spots on my hands, though. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jury,
have you noticed anything
out
on your face? Like, is it? I mean, I know you just had your lasers.
I just had lasers. Like, I feel like it's hard to sort of isolate that, you know?
That's fair. That's fair.
Now, Kate, I'm also seeing in our document that you have come around to one of my faves.
Okay. So I also love this. No, wait, this is different than the one you like, I think. You use antioxidant dew? I thought you used the more oily Kypris serum.
This is the exact one that I've talked about.
Oh, boy, I'm really, really knocking out of the park today. Dory, I've been using this for a while, actually. The Kypris antioxidant dew. This is more of like a morning hydrating product, but I've also been putting this on before moisturizer and liking this as well in terms of products that leave my skin feeling refreshed and dewy and hydrated, quite frankly.
So I ran out of this because I used it all, but I was using it at night. I was using it at night as part of my nighttime routine.
Not in the morning. Mm-mm. Okay. But you used it so hardcore that you ran out of it?
Yes.
Wow. That is an endoriousment if I ever did hear one. Are you going to refill?
I think I might, actually.
Dory.
Yeah, I think I might. I know. This is big. This is big.
Are you still using your CoQ10 serum?
I ran out.
Oh, interesting. Are you going to regroup on that?
Probably. I just, you know how I get, like, I sometimes when I run out of stuff, I'm like, I should really just use up the stuff that I have. I have so much stuff that, like, I'm just like, unless I really feel like one particular type of item is, like, really missing in my regimen, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to kind of use what I use. Ultimately, I do really believe this, but, like, I feel like for most people, truly the most important thing is sunscreen.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right. And I think why that's not always as exciting or titillating is that you're not seeing like quote unquote results, because it's a life's work wearing sunscreen. This is why like I'm baffled by the 20 somethings who are like going to town on their skin with retinol and stuff. It's like, just get good sunscreen.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I definitely did not use a retinol when I was in my 20s.
I mean, I've talked about it here on the show. I didn't really start washing my face until I was like in my 30s, like daily, like making it a thing until I was in my 30s.
Hmm. And look at you now.
And look at me. I'm literally glowing. Thank you to Tammy Fender, a woman who lives in Florida, who I had never heard of until her plant milk walked into my life. I'm obsessed with it. I really love it. Yeah, I know. Wow. I know. This is a new one for me. I know.
Okay.
Dory, enough about me. Just give me a sprinkle of how you've been lately, because I do feel like you are living a very an authentic life to who you are and a joyful life. And I'm not going to lie, I'm envious.
Interesting. Kate, I love that intro. Thank you so much. I wanted to give everyone a little update on piano.
Yeah, I'm here for this.
If they care.
I do.
So I've been with my piano teacher for, I've sort of lost track of time. I'm like, how long has it been? I don't know. Has it been a year? Maybe it's been a year. But you know, I really like him. He's a great teacher. And, you know, I feel like I've made actual progress. Okay, wait, no, I've not been with him for a year. I've been with him since November. So actually not that long. Because before that I had a different teacher, but I wanted to start taking lessons IRL. That was why I switched.
And that's who this person is.
That's who this person is. Yes. I take lessons with them IRL. Anyway, so I had my lesson yesterday and he's brought this up sort of in passing a couple times before, but he really brought up getting a real piano.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah. So right now I have a Roland digital piano, which as non-real pianos go, it's pretty good. Like it has weighted keys and it has a real pedal. And it's not the exact, it's obviously not the same as playing on a piano, but it is it's not bad. It's not playing on a little Casio keyboard.
Yeah. My whole family, excluding me, they all take piano lessons, including Anthony, and they all use our digital keyboard.
Yeah. Okay.
Or digital piano, whatever it's called. Yeah.
So I'm doing classical music. And he was like, I think it would be really helpful for you to, look into getting a real piano, because I feel like you're at this threshold. And I was like, what threshold? He's like, I think you're at a threshold of kind of moving into a different level of piano playing. And I was like, huh, okay, well, that's interesting. And he's like, yeah, He was like, I don't have any other students who I don't have any other students who, for whom this is a hobby that they take so seriously.
Oh, wow.
I do think it's confusing to people that I don't do recitals.
Which, can I be honest, I think is a revolutionary act on your part.
Oh, thank you.
Because we're so used to showing off our accomplishments, or we exist in this culture where accomplishments must be shown off, or you must be working towards some sort of goal. And I truly feel, and this is why I said I was envious, is that your intention is purely joy and pleasure in this experience, at least the way I see it as your friend. And I find that really inspiring.
Thanks, Kate. So yeah, and then we talked about the kinds of pieces that I want to work on, and he He was like, I mean, do you want to work on like bigger pieces, or do you want to like, we could just kind of stay with like, cause I've been working on a mix of like shorter stuff and longer stuff. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I have nothing else to do. And I was like, wait, no. I mean, I do have other things to do. Like I work and like I have stuff to do. I was like, but in terms of piano, I was like, it's not like I'm like working towards like a certificate or a recital. So if we want to work on like a big complicated piece, like why not? And he was like, oh, okay, well, great.
So how do you feel about his suggestion that a piano is kind of like the next step or a good investment in terms of your practice? Because not only is a piano, like it can be an expensive purchase, like it also has to go somewhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we don't have room for like a baby grand. So like that's not happening.
I'd love it if you did.
Just like plonk it down in the middle of the living room. But you know, where, because the digital piano I have now is like basically, it's smaller, but it's in the same family size as an upright piano. So I could put it where my digital piano is right now. But yeah, I mean, it's like although people are always getting rid of pianos. Like I think it's not that hard to find a piano. Just moving it is like the issue, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely like it's an investment, not just in terms of money, but in terms of like a large thing you're bringing into your house, and like you need to tune it, and you know, just like all the piano maintenance is a real thing. But yeah, it was a very interesting conversation, and it did kind of just like make me chuckle that like, yeah, this is just, and then I told Matt and he was like, but you only play, he's like, you only play for you and your teacher. And I was like, uh-huh.
That's the thing. It doesn't, like, you can, is he saying like you shouldn't get a nice piano or get a piano because it's only for you and this other person?
No, that wasn't so much what he was saying. I was also like, you have no leg to stand on because in every hobby you have, you buy 1,000 things and like, and I never buy anything. Like I have the same tennis racket since I started playing. And like, since he started playing golf, he's gotten like 1,000 clubs. You know what I mean? And so I'm just like, oh, okay.
To be clear, like, Matt has more guitars than anybody I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. So, you know, the fact that like I am considering getting a piano, I feel like he does not get to push back on it. I think it was more this idea of like, I'm on the threshold of like another level of piano.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the sense of like, well, not like what's the point, but kind of like, okay. But like, it's kind of like if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, it's like,
yeah,
a little bit, you know?
It's so interesting because, right, like you're getting better and better. And it's like, but for what? Like, not for what? I see it as like a personal journey, and it doesn't have to be for anybody else or for anyone else to hear except you. So like, if you wanted to do it on a beautiful new piano, that it only has to be about you, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you know, pianos are unique among instruments that in the sense that like they're not, well, I mean, I guess like drums aren't super portable, but like most instruments are portable. Like if you play the violin, you can go off and like play in an orchestra, or play in a mm-hmm. chamber music ensemble, or, you know, whatever. I can't just like pick up my piano and go jam, you know,
but you can so with your keyboard,
but I,
or your digital piano.
I can't actually, it's too big. So yeah, so I think that might also be part of it, that like there's no sort of communal element to it. Mm. And like, I get that. And it's interesting because I do feel like there are so many other things that I've picked up in the last couple of years that like do have a communal aspect to them. You know?
Yeah, you play poker, you play tennis.
Played Mahjong last night.
That's right. Well, can I ask a question? And I'm saying this like utterly seriously. I know you're not doing this to like perform a recital piece but would you ever be in a band?
No.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
I would be in like a chamber music.
Yes.
Thank.
I'm just imagining you in like this like synth pop cool.
No. See, no, that's okay. That's not what I'm doing.
Mm-mm. That's not where this is headed. I mean,
no,
I
this
just
is not where this is headed.
I just think of like you in that necklace is in the 90s and how rocker you are.
Oh yeah. No, this is not. I think the only thing I would feel comfortable doing is like a chamber music ensemble kind of thing. Because that is the same sort of learning pattern as what I do now.
Yeah. And the same style of genre, the same, general genre.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like I just don't. And maybe I could have if this was like how I was trained or how I think, but like I just don't sit down and like jam.
Yeah.
Whereas how Matt often, does. And like I think that confuses him that I don't.
How often do you practice?
I would say 4 to 5 times a week.
Oh, that's amazing. I think that's so cool.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you
and
so much.
Are you, when your life is super stressful, like if you have a ton of work, do you make it a point to continue these practices, like your piano or like making poker night or mahjong or what have you, because you know that they fulfill you?
I mean, I feel like there's, as much as I would like to say like, yes, it really kind of depends. I mean, there are times when I'm just like so spent that I just can't, like our nanny has been dealing with some family stuff. And so she hasn't, there have been some days in the last couple of weeks that she hasn't been able to come. And so on days where like I'm taking care of Henry and doing work, it's like I don't want to sit down in front of the piano.
That makes sense, of course.
You know, because it is like it is relaxing, it is meditative, but it is also like I do really need to focus and and after those days I'm just so drained that I'm like, no.
Well, again, I find this really I don't know, I just find it really inspiring. Not like it's not even your commitment to it, it's the fact that you've tapped into these things that are meaningful for you.
Thank you, Kate. I mean, you could too.
I'm really struggling with this, actually. Like, you know, the reason I'm kind of like yammering about it, because I was literally thinking about you when I saw the show notes and you said piano stuff. And I was like, Dory has really found things that bring her joy that she sticks to, you know, not like a flash in the pan kind of thing, not a trend. Like you have really found these solid things that I think really fulfill you. Mm-hmm. And that's why I used the word envious before, because I was like, I am not in a place right now where I feel like I even, oh, this is going to get dark. Like I'm feeling like I deserve that in my life, if that makes sense. I didn't mean for this to take a turn for the sad. But anyway, I just was thinking about it and I'm like, what is that for me? And also this is, I just think it's so important and we forget so much in life that those things are truly what sustains us. I don't know. Yeah. This got too deep. I didn't mean to take it down a deep, deep road.
No, I mean, we can take it down a deep road. I want you to find that thing. I want you to have that joy.
I have I really struggle with giving myself time to have those things in my life because I put so much pressure on myself. Also because I have to get my attention span issues under control first, I think. Like I think that's part of it, is because I struggle so much to hold attention and get stuff done. I don't know. I'm gonna work on that. That might be, you know, you and I in the past have set like larger intentions, and I feel like that would be a good one for me to figure out.
Yeah, for sure.
Should I buy you a piano for your birthday next year? Would that be really awkward on so many levels.
Oh my God. That would be amazing.
I chose it for you.
I open the door and there's just piano movers there. They're like,
like in that movie. It's the movie Once where they're loading the piano up.
Oh,
well, I love that. I won't even like make a joke about asking to hear you play because it sounds like it's a really sacred practice for you that is just for you. And I just, I'm just loving that.
Thank you, Kate. Well, I don't know what a great segue to talking about our guest is. But
I was going to say, speaking of joy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, speaking of joy, I did really enjoy talking to our guest. She was like such a delight.
Do you want to share who we got to speak with this week?
Kate, I would like nothing more. We got to talk to Heidi Gardner. You have probably seen her on Saturday Night Live. I mean, she has some iconic characters, including teen movie reviewer Bailey Gismert, famous 80s cocaine wife Carla, Angel Every Boxer's girlfriend, and she trained with the Groundlings main company in Los Angeles. And if you are kind of at all sort of in the comedy, aware of the comedy world, you know how iconic Groundlings has been in terms of like comedy, just period. But a lot of SNL cast members have come from Groundlings. Anyway, she is in the new movie Hustle, which is on Netflix. It's an amazing sports drama with Adam Sandler and Queen Latifah. And she has also guest starred on the final season of HBO's Veep. She's been on NBC's Superstore. She was on The Other Two, which is one of Kate and my, favorite shows. And yeah, she's from Kansas City, Missouri. Her birthday is July 27th. She's just like a delightful human, and we had so much fun talking to her. So,
and like, inspiring. Yes, oh, sorry. We talk about kind of second careers and, you know, how to know. The idea of like, is it too late for me to pursue this thing that I love? Because she was a hairstylist for 10 years. And then started doing comedy. So it's just really, she's just the coolest. I loved getting to talk to her.
So cool. All right. We are going to take a short break then we're going to come back.
Okay.
With Heidi.
We'll be here.
All right. BRB.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college? When I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress.
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable
and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they manage to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups, still without the underwire, to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Well, we are so excited to have Heidi Gardner here. This is a very, you are our first SNL cast member and I'm very excited.
I'm honored to be your first.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know that I'm many people's first.
Well, you know what? You're ours, which is, it's quite a status symbol, I have to say.
We always kick all our interviews off by asking our guests about a self-care practice that they have. So is there something that you are doing these days that you would consider kind of a regular practice?
You know what I've been doing a lot recently, and this should have been obvious to me because, you know, every time you go to the spa or get your nails done, they have the hot towels that seem like that you can only get that at a spa or yes. a salon. But lately when I'm washing my face, I'll use like an oil-based cleanser. And then I'll just run my washcloth under hot water and then I wipe my face with that. Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yes. And so I feel like I'm at the spa. It's this warm compress on my face. And yes, I don't have the little like microwave heater that they do at a salon, but I do have a faucet with hot water and I can give myself that self-care.
Oh, I love that. Just like bringing a little bit of the spa home.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, perfect. Well, Heidi, this interview is kind of pegged to your role in the new movie Hustle with Adam Sandler, which is this amazing basketball dramedy on Netflix. And I guess we just like to hear a little bit about what making the movie for you was like. Were there any real highlights? I know you're a basketball fan. Was that kind of part of the appeal of doing the movie?
Absolutely. I mean, I have for years been saying, I want the world of comedy and the NBA to somehow come together. and my mind could never really think of anything other than like, I'd love to do like a photo shoot with LeBron James or something. And that's never happened. But like, I just didn't know how that would ever work out in the world for me. And then Hustle came along and, you know, one of my absolute heroes, Adam Sandler, had told me that about the role and that he wanted me for the role. And I mean, that was huge. I think I would have said yes to anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe not anything, but most things that Adam asked me to do. And then the fact that he told me that, yeah, I was going to play one of the owners of the Philadelphia 76ers and that, you know, the movie was going to be stacked with current NBA players, alumni, you know, and basically my character is like a Jeannie Buss type mm-hmm. who, you know, I've watched over the years. So it was a dream. I couldn't believe it. And then my first day on set, they got me ready. I'm coming out of hair and makeup. They walked me to the set and like one of the PAs was like, she's too early for this scene. Like you guys brought her out early. We're still getting all this like game coverage. And, you know, I look out, it's at a gym and it's like, Aaron Gordon, Trey Young, Wancho, all playing like an NBA style scrimmage game. And I'm just like in awe, mouth open, but they're like, we'll get you right back to your trailer. We're so sorry we brought you out early. And no. I was like, hell no. I'm like, I'm watching this game. These are my favorite players. They like had just been in the playoffs like 2 weeks before. So yeah, I just, and they kept on being like, oh my God, we're so sorry we're behind. I'm like, I don't care. I don't even care. Honestly, and I really mean this, even if they told me that day, like your part is completely cut, I would have been like, okay, well, thanks for flying me to watch an NBA game and then like get to talk to some players and Adam. Like I promise I'm good. Thank you for the opportunity.
I was reading a little bit about, you know, you're a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs and you have that amazing Chiefs dress that yes. someone made you. Like,
yeah.
And just being a fan of the NBA and pro sports teams in general is such a part of like joy in our lives that I think we haven't discussed that much on our show, even though like, you know, we're both Red Sox fans and married to people who are obsessed with certain sports teams. Is that, I mean, you have a really long-standing love of the NBA in your own life. What does it kind of mean to you? What is like getting swept up in that like pro sports team feeling mean to you?
Well, first off, I just want to give a shout out to the girl who made the Chiefs dress. You
it's
can
so
find
cool.
her on Instagram under Shop Franklin J, and she's incredible and can make a dress out of anything. But that Chiefs dress is my pride and joy because, like you were just asking, sports, for me, ever since I was a little girl, it was kind of the great connector for me. It was comedy and sports with my family, especially. It was like the thing that we all did together. And I actually really credit my mom with making me like a passionate NFL fan and NBA fan. She's from Chicago, so she was a huge Bears fan and Bulls fan. And like growing up a 90s kid and your mom loves the Bulls and there's not a team in Kansas City and it's like, you know, Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman. It was very cool. And then she, once I got into the NFL, she was a travel agent and she actually did travel for some of the Chiefs players like Derek Thomas and Dale Carter. And so she would know that after every home game, the Chiefs would go to Houston's Bar and Grill on the plaza in Kansas City and have drinks. So like at 6, 7 years old, she would take me down to Houston, sneak me into the bar area, grab me cocktail napkins and give me her pin. And I would go around like asking Chiefs players for autographs. And so she really just always kind of like she taught me about it, and then she supported the love that I had, and it was just always really fun. And to this day, I just think sports is a great connector. Like, especially if I'm like a little shy meeting a stranger, like, you know, I might ask them where they're from. And then if they're a fan of that team, and then suddenly we have a conversation going. And then I also find that like on Sundays, when there's an NFL game, it's such a great way to have friends over. You're like entertained by a game, but you're also visiting. There's snacks, it's communal. It's like if every day could be a Super Bowl party, that would be a great life. I mean, it's just like, yeah, that's my dream.
I wanted to ask you actually about your mom, because I read an interview with you where you talked about how she hosted lingerie parties when you were a kid, and also, like you said, you know, took you to bars. And I'm curious how that experience growing up has influenced your comedy career.
Well, I think my mom is like my ultimate character inspiration for all those reasons. Like,
right.
You know, in so many ways, she was a single mom and I was along for her ride, you know? So it's like she was being a mom and her kids were most important. And she was a woman in her 30s trying to live her life. And so, yeah, I got taken along to those lingerie parties. And it was like I had seen those on TV or heard about other friends' moms doing like Tupperware parties.
Yeah.
And so then she had this group of friends called Girls Night Out, Let's Have Fun Club, which to this day, there's a
that
t-shirt. It's like incredible. And, you know, the women in the group, there were two Lynns. One of them was Lynn Starr. There was a Kathy. I think it was like two Lynns, two Kathys, and Ernie, my mom. And Girls Night Out, Let's Have Fun Club, they were like, yeah, well, we're not traditional. We don't want to do the Tupperware party. So I remember they would, like a person, like a lingerie salesperson would come to one of their houses or apartments with a rack of lingerie. And like, as this like young girl, I would see all these like long, like 90s and like the marabou feather kitten heels. And like, you know, my mom's friend, Lynn Starr, which is a kid, that's the coolest name I've ever heard in my life, because her last name is Starr, with her big like 80s hair, like comes out in like a red negligee and like ostrich feather shoes. And I was just like, well, that's a character. I have a character I do sometimes in live shows. Her name's Lynn Starr, because I'm still obsessed with it.
Has the real Lynn Starr ever seen you do Lynn Starr?
She hasn't. And it's really, I just took the liberty of the name. Like, sure. I would, yeah. Lynn Starr would be like, the actual Lynn Starr would be a more crafted, like almost honorary character.
Right. Yes.
But yeah, my mom just littered my life with characters. Same with my dad. You know, they were very gregarious. They are, they definitely were in the 80s and 90s, just like a gregarious people with like lots of fun friends. And like I said, I was just along for the ride and just constantly being like, oh my God, that's an interesting, like my dad was a limo driver. He was a chauffeur and he would pick me up from school in a limo. And I remember a lot of the kids in the grades above me, I was in like fourth grade. They saw me get picked up. And I remember this kid, Scott, was like, you rich bitch. And I was like, no, like we're poor. My dad's the driver driving the rich people. But sometimes I would open my door, or my dad would open it for me, chauffeur style. And in the back seat of a limo, it would be all this motley crew of tattoo artists. Like if a tattoo convention was in town, like my dad's friends, like Wes Grimm and Mr. Rosini. And it was just like, me at like 8 years old and like just like 10 tattoo artists just like in the back of a limo. It doesn't sound like very safe but you know, my dad's like, yeah, we got to go drop them off at their hotel, or we have to swing by the convention. Like Wes has to, or, you know, just, it was wild. And sometimes I really miss that time, because even though it was chaotic and crazy, and I think I was exposed to things I shouldn't have, I will say that like my childhood was exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so interesting too. I mean, I think we're a little bit older than you, but not by much. So we all kind of grew up in that same 80s and 90s time where it just, I don't think that would happen anymore. Like parents.
No.
It's the culture of parenting has changed so much. And I think you could argue like sometimes for better, sometimes a lot of times for worse. And that just sounds like a really exciting, like you said, exciting way to kind of grow up and to see things and to begin to understand the world through your parents. Also sounds like an amazing 1990s childhood to get picked up in a limo. It's like something out of Kindergarten Cop or something. Yes. That just sounds Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Do you think your parents or just kind of growing up in that space fueled your personal style at all? Because I really love everything that you wear, you know, on the SNL, you know, closing or just on red carpets, even just like right now. I think it's very clear you have a fun, colorful, like love of fashion. And I know you are a vintage person too. So is that, do you think, where it kind of came from? Or is your personal style something you really developed just on your own?
I think it definitely came from them. I think back a lot about my mom's closet when I was a kid, or actually just her bedroom. You know, she had a huge vanity in the top, and on top of the vanity were like the vintage perfume bottles with like the squeezy puff mm-hmm, things or whatever. Mm-hmm. She had the first two drawers were like all my grandma's costume jewelry, which was just like the most beautiful. When you're that age, costume jewelry is real diamonds, I think. And then she had like vintage hat boxes with hats with veils in it. And then her closet was full of like those like 90s sweetheart cut, like velvet mini dresses mm-hmm. with gemstones around the bust and like a matching bolero. And then like the kitten heels with feathers. Like her closet was a dream. And then I also had like a dad who, I remember one day coming home from school, walking into the bathroom, and the shower curtain, I think, was taken off, and there was a white blazer hanging from the shower curtain rod. And my dad had two cans of neon spray paint, and he was just like kind of graffitiing, Jackson Pollocking his white blazer with just like pinks and greens. And I mean, to this day, I'm like, Dad, do you have that blazer? He's like, no. He's like, I got rid of it when it, you know, didn't fit anymore. I'm like, that blazer was so cool. So they definitely, like, they were into vintage. They were playful. And I think that is where I come from, too.
Oh, my God. I love that so much.
Yeah.
The confidence it takes to spray paint your own blazer and then wear it is very admirable.
In the bathroom.
I know. On a white tub. I'm like,
oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping. And they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
All right, we are back.
Heidi, we hear from a lot of listeners who feel like whatever they want to do, it's like too late for them. And, you know, I know you started your career as a hairstylist and pivoted to comedy. I think you were in your late 20s when you started doing Groundlings. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to just kind of hear a little bit about what that pivot was like for you. And if you have any advice for people who kind of want to do something like this, but feel like, oh, it's too late, like I've already kind of gone down this other path.
Yeah, I kind of feel like no matter, it's so funny because I didn't have any sort of plans of doing what I'm doing now. I really didn't. I didn't think there was a path being a kid from Kansas City and never having acted, but I was obsessed with movies and TV and SNL and pop culture. And I thought that I was just going to quote movies the rest of my life. Like, I was like, that's the thing that I do. And even when I dropped out of college then to do hair, and, you know, I think I was 21 and I was going to school with some girls that were like 18, like who fresh out of high school, right into school for hair and makeup. And I remember at that time thinking I was behind, like, oh God, like if I only would have known a couple years ago, like, you know, they're going to be so ahead of me. I'm so behind. And I was a baby, you know? And then I really enjoyed my time doing hair. I think I knew that it wasn't a forever thing just because like I couldn't see myself like owning my own salon, and I had such an amazing mentor and I knew how like she grew and got her salon. So I remember being like, oh, I wonder why I don't like want to do that. But I think the thing, and I have so many friends and family members that are like, yeah, we always knew how funny you were, but you were a hairstylist. You didn't, you know? But I had some like key people that like believed in me that were like, you should take an improv class. You're really funny. Like just do it. And even though I thought I had no business doing it, and sometimes when I still don't think I have any business and I'm like, yeah, but I didn't go to acting school. And those moments where I'm like, and I feel so behind because these people have this experience and this experience. I'm like, well, I had a different experience. Like all those times with my parents, like, you know, being 7 years old at happy hours because my mom wouldn't cook, and the people I met, like I was meeting characters, or, you know, I was the kid who like everyone else asked to do prank phone calls, you know, like I was doing characters. And so it was gonna find its way out of me in some way. And for a while it was just fine, you know, quoting movies and being like the expert on like indie type things or, you know, in Kansas City. But I think your true thing, I think your calling, like it's going to come out somehow. So just like let it. And like, it doesn't have to, obviously I got really lucky being where I'm at, but like, I also have to remind myself, like, it didn't have to come out that way either. Like it can lead you to so many different things. So at least let it like have its chance and explore itself, let it out. It deserves that. You deserve to give yourself that. It's, and you know, I know at Groundlings, they would always tell us like, you know, if your goal is to be a groundling, like you actually like shouldn't be here. Like the odds of that happening are very low, you know, like they were just trying to set you up with like, explore this space in other ways. And so I'm just kind of like, take the pressure off of like, anytime I have those like big end goals, I know it's good to have goals, but it's like, just take the pressure off and enjoy the journey. Like, cause I think that's actually the dream. It's just like all those steps. That's the really fun part.
I mean, SNL is such a competitive, I mean, I've heard you talk about this, like the process of auditioning is really competitive and emotionally a bit grueling, like the meetings with Lorne and waiting for the meeting and all that stuff. And then once you're at SNL, the schedule is really intense. And I know it's been a little wacky the last few years with COVID, but you all are up and running again this past year. And I would love to know, like, how do you take care of yourself both like physically and emotionally during a shooting week? Because the hours are really, you know, late and it's an institution. So you want to honor the process. And there's the, you know, emotion of sketches not getting on or things getting cut at the last minute. Do you take that in stride? Are there weeks where it's easier than other weeks? What does that look like for you?
Well, the first few years of being on the show, I think you have to just get swept up in it. And you don't have any other choice. You're just like, this is life now, and this rules everything. And the last couple of years, and probably having more time at home because of the pandemic, probably affected this, but I've made a conscious effort that it's like, no matter how swept up in a work week I get, I have to take time for myself so I don't feel like SNL is everything and that it's completely running the show. Like, even sometimes if I get home at 11 o'clock, I will, and that's, you know, not even that late for SNL, but late for dinner, I will force myself to make myself a meal, even if it's just like boiling some pasta and putting a red sauce on it. Cause I'm just like, this is something I'm doing to take care of myself. Just like taking a moment for me. It has nothing to do with work. It just has to do with nourishing me. So I take a lot of little moments like that. Or on a Sunday, I will make like a big curry that, you know, will last me a few nights, and I'll bring my dinner to work. I'll bring my dinner to work on Saturday. So I have this like nourishing food that I got from home that I know I'll like. You know, there's an amazing cafeteria at work, but you know, sometimes it's like, oh, I don't really want, you know, catfish before the show or something. But like, I can take care of myself. I can make sure that I have the things that I need. So that's been a really big thing. And then also not, even though the hours are very late and I'm happy to stay up as late as I need to, or, you know, be on shoots as late or early as possible, it's also admitting to myself, like, I'm a better writer at 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. than I am from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. I just know it. Like, yes, you might get something wild out of me at that time, but I feel better. I'm just more on top of my brain at those hours. So it's also just being like, okay, so I'm also going to write then. And if I get my sketches done, then I might revise some things at 4 a.m. or someone might be like having me take a look at something at 4 a.m. I'm happy to do that. But like, I'm honoring my process rather than being like, oh, I have to be like what I think the cool kid is and like, you know, stay up till 6 and roll into the table read, like no shower, haven't brushed my teeth, like I will feel disgusting. Like I have to. Mm-hmm. And I'm out there performing and like need to. So I have to take those things to take care of myself. And I do. And I'm really proud of that, that I've made an effort the last couple of years to do that. I feel better.
It's an interesting like boundary setting almost, because it's not necessarily boundary setting with another person, but it's like that setting a boundary with work and also yourself in a way.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah. And even the, and like you were saying about like when a sketch gets on or when it doesn't, or like there's so much adrenaline in a work week at SNL and there's so many highs and lows that I've also stopped allowing the highs and lows to, I mean, of course, if it's a big high, I want to honor that and celebrate it. But if you have a really big high, like a really big low is probably coming too. So it's like, just to like, try to not ride either wave too much. And even like, if you have a great show on a Saturday, it's like, you know, on a Sunday, the brain is curious. The brain wants like more praise. And I learned really early on, like you want to look for like who liked the sketch or, and it's like a million, I've never gotten a million comments, but a million good comments will always be overshadowed by one bad one. And so it's just not worth it. It's like, I trust the universe that I went out there and I did my job. If I'm happy with it and I'm my absolute worst critic, then I can settle. And like, if, you know, people I know reach out to me or get to me somehow to tell me that they like something I did, I'm like, that's great. And I'm not going to go seeking validation anywhere else either. And I think that's a really good way to take care of myself. Cause it also just means like, okay, I trust my gut. Like I'm okay no matter what.
I mean, that's a challenge. I think whether or not you're on SNL. Yeah,
just in your day to day life. Like, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, Heidi, before we wrap, we do always like to ask our guests about their skincare routine. So could you share with us what you are using these days?
Yes. So, well, I was just traveling and I had gotten this, just like travel kit that I just put in my bag. Cause I was like, oh, this is easy. And it's not necessarily the skincare I usually use, but I will say that I was super impressed by it. The brand's called The Outset, and I was just using their cleanser serum. I think it's a new brand, or at least I didn't know about them, but cleanser serum and their moisturizer. And their moisturizer is just like the perfect consistency of like not too thick, not too thin, not too kind of sticky. I mean, it's just like it also feels like I could put on like 7-quarter size amounts and like it wouldn't feel like too much. So I really like that brand. What else have I been doing? You know, I don't know if they do anything, but I like putting under iPads on under my eyes. They feel good. I'm not sure.
Do you, after a show, like you have so much makeup on, what's the first thing that you do to take it off? Is it a makeup wipe? Is it an oil cleanse? Do you go to bed with your makeup on ever?
No. So it's so funny too, because we have our makeup done so many different times during the week, especially on Friday if we're in like a video shoot. And so you'll have this like really like beautiful makeup that usually just says like, you know, a woman about town. Like I would love to keep a professionally made up face all day long. And I feel so bad that the makeup artists are always like, do you want to keep it? Or, and I'm like, get it off my face. Or like, yes, I need a makeup wipe because it'll just keep getting layered on. And then Saturday keep getting layered on. But, what I do is I'll use like an oil based cleanser when I get home. I'll do like a pass of that. And my makeup artist, Kim, at the show told me to do that, like basically a double cleanse. So do the oil and then do like a regular face wash. And I think about it so much when I would go out in my 20s and not wash my face. Like full like lashes. Wow.
Just
I can't even imagine. Sometimes I'll stay, I'll keep like the eye on or something. Cause I'm like, oh, the next day it might be like smokier and sexier. And like try to sleep on my back so the lashes won't be affected. But I wash it off for sure.
Oh, well, Heidi, this has been so lovely to get to talk to you. We know we can see you in Hustle on Netflix, which is out now and is like a huge hit, which is so exciting. Congratulations. And of course, SNL. Is there anywhere else that people can find you or that you want any other things you want to share with our listeners?
Oh my gosh. You know, it's not as current right now, but I do a podcast with my brother that's all about kind of like, I don't know if you can tell from this what I've been talking about, but I'm nostalgic and it's called Where We Were When. And it's my brother and I having guests come on and talk about like our most memorable movie going experiences, like when we were a child or any part of adolescence, just a certain movie going experience that you have lots of memories around. And it's been really cool to learn about people that way, their childhoods into informing who they are now. And then also to reconnect with my older brother that way too.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. It's a feel good.
I love that. Now I'm thinking about some real weird movie moments from the 90s that I had. So, I could talk about it all day. Well, Heidi, thank you again. We're so glad to have you.
Yeah, this was so fun.
Thank you so much.
You know, Dory, it was really funny. We were watching as a family, Is It Cake? Which is such a fun reality show if you have not watched it. And I was asking my kids about the best judges and they were like, the woman from Saturday Night Live that you are going to interview. Because she's a judge on the show. And I was like,
Oh my God.
It's amazing to me that like my children know who all these folks are. Like it was just very sweet. And I've been like, I just talked to her. I just had her.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. My kids were slightly impressed. They were slightly wowed by me.
Just slightly.
A little bit. They weren't that impressed. They like went back to just talking about the cake, but.
All right. Kate.
Yes.
Did you read a book not in your alien world?
Okay. Well, I read one more book in my alien world. And then I have started a book about orcs, which are like big green monsters.
Okay.
But I also have started The Lifestyle by Taylor Hahn, which I am very excited about. I just dug into it. It's a bit of a retelling of Emma. It explores like swingers. It's just Taylor's really a really great writer and very cool. And this book has a lot of buzz. So I am very excited to dig into that. So yeah, that's my non-alien book. Unless out of nowhere, there's an alien character in The Lifestyle or in this book about orcs that I'm reading. I think I'm on an alien break until the next new book comes out in July.
Okay. All right.
All right. Look at that. Okay. Broadening my horizons.
Wow. Yeah. I appreciate it. So, Kate, I was going to watch TV last week.
And?
Well, I couldn't wait. And I talked about this on an episode a few days ago. Last week? Monday? I don't even remember. But I watched all of Heartstopper in like a second.
And I cried with joy because.
Yes. It's just.
I love them so much.
It's so great. And then I finally started season two of Hacks, which I was behind on. So
also great. Okay. Look at you.
Yeah. So I'm just moving
right along.
You are moving and grooving. I know. Look, I'm very impressed.
And grooving.
Okay. Well, this week, do you have an intention to share with us?
I do. And we are going to be talking about this a little bit more in the next few days. But you and I are both going on vacation. And so as anyone who has ever worked at a job and gone on vacation knows, the like week or two before you go on vacation is always so crazy because you're just like trying to get all this stuff done and like make sure everything is like wrapped up before you leave and et cetera, et cetera. So Kate and I have a very hectic couple of weeks coming up.
We've really like loaded up the days with things in order to hopefully be able to kind of take a break.
I think we are going to be like really glad we did it, but I think it's going to feel a little chaotic for a little while. Yeah. My intention is to just not to get overwhelmed.
You know what? For the first time, I think I am going to share this intention with you because I didn't have an intention for this week, and I am prone to catastrophizing and leading into the overwhelm. And so I am going to also strive for balance this week.
Okay.
Well, let's also hope that for Sam and Sammy, who are along for this ride with us,
that they're really along for the ride.
I know. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Friendly reminder that Fervor 35 is hosted and produced by Dori Shapriar and Kate Spencer. It's produced and edited by Sam Junio. Sammy Reed is our project manager. Our network partner is Acast.
Bye.